Excitation. Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of N-45-4409, Private Frank John Partridge, V.C. The time, July the 24th, 1945. The place, Bougainville.
Jeffers! Perkins!
To your right!
We'll never make it. Never get through.
We were told to get through. Those are orders, Ed.
And we'll never carry out those orders so long as the Japs hold base 5.
July 1945. The Japanese, with their backs against the wall, fought with the desperate ferocity of cornered wolves. For 9 months, Australian soldiers had fought the enemy on Bougainville. For 9 months, they had fought the smoky heat and the sullen, steady rain. But nature couldn't equal the squally tempest of war on the bean-pod-shaped island of Bougainville in the Solomon Sea.
Grenade! Pass me the grenade! There's a new phosphor grenade! Thanks. There! Up and into him while the smoke's got him blinded! Come on, in with the bait!
Australian militiamen fought magnificently. They were matched against a well-equipped enemy infantry, and they outfought the Japanese on the battlefield of swamp and jungle. One of those militiamen was a young private from Upper Huel Creek of Maxville in New South Wales. Frank Partridge was a member of the 8th Battalion engaged in the assault on the northern end of the island that was a spear pointed towards Booker Island. With tanks, bayonet, and great courage, the Australians drove the Japanese along the coastline that sweltered by the butter-colored Solomon Sea.
Here she comes, a DC-3.
Coming in for a drop.
Look. Wow!
Get that barbed wire quick, smart men. Run it up before nightfall. Get down those Japs sneaking like they did last night. Bayoneting our wounded on the beach. Get it up, quick and lively.
It was a no-holds-barred battle on Bougainville. The Japanese had become very aggressive, ambushing our long supply routes. And in the south of the island, he'd been forced to face a decisive battle. So our forces on the southern end were being built to meet the prospect of a major action. While in the north, little support could be given the men of the 8th and 27th Battalion, whose task it was to contain the enemy on the Bonis Peninsula. Without support, the Australian soldiers faced the fanatical enemy, strongly entrenched in prepared positions.
Now, this is the Ratsua River. Now, keep that in mind so you can orientate yourself on this patrol. This point here is Base 5. Now, see where it is on this map. Now, watch this closely. The first patrol will move in this direction from Ruri Bay. The second patrol will move in this direction. Clear?
Okay, that's right, sir.
This is not going to be a picnic excursion. The Japs have built Base 5 into a heavily fortified position. It's more than just an outpost.
You're telling us, sir.
Well, there's no need to tell you, I know. You've been up against it before today. And you realize that unless we knock it out, we won't be able to advance.
Got a stonkered, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Yes, it's got us good and properly stonkered. And that's to be wiped out. Now, I'll run over the plot just once more. Our artillery will put down a concentration of fire onto the Japs at Base 5... Then both patrols will move in this encircling movement, as I've shown you on this map. All right. Any questions?
Are they having a bad winter back in Aussie?
Yeah, good question, Ted. I'll see if I can't have the answer for you when you come back. Curtain's going up, fellas. This is it.
And our guns laid down a concentrated barrage on Base 5. The shells tossed the mud high and stripped the banana trees clustered around the enemy strong point so that the leaves lay along the already well-concealed position. The shells laid a clever camouflage that was to bring tragedy to our patrols.
Yeah, they sure belted that stuff down.
Yeah, smoke everywhere. Can you see the position, Ted?
Nah, but we must be close to it. Yeah, it's hard to see anything. Those shells have torn the whole joint up.
Yeah, nothing up there. Just busted banana trees.
So Base 5 had survived the Australian shelling. The machine guns hidden under the shredded banana trees caught our men by surprise, and the raking fire killed a Bren gunner in the forward section and wounded three other men. One of the wounded was the young rifleman named Frank Partridge, who was hit twice in the left arm and again in the right thigh.
Walked right into it. Anybody hit bad?
I'm nicked here, sir.
You'll live. He's had it, sir.
Yes, instantly. How are you others? That keep down there. They got us under open sights. You there, hit bad?
Two of the lads have caught bad ones.
Yes, have to get them back. A couple of you men, you over there.
You've all copped.
Yes. But lift those men and take them back, will you?
Frank Partridge has copped some too, sir.
How are you, Frank?
Okay, sir.
Right.
The Australians were in a desperate situation. Every man except the section leader had been wounded by that first unexpected flame of fire. The position was extremely grave, and the Australian force faced almost certain annihilation unless Base 5 was knocked out. Private Frank Partridge knew that, and he acted.
Get down, Frank! Keep down!
The office rocket!
He's running towards the jet!
Picking up the Bren gun and his mate drop. Yeah, that's what he's up to, recovering the Bren. I'll bring him back. I come on back, Frank!
But Private Partridge did not intend to return to the position of comparative safety. He was intent on recovering the invaluable Bren gun dropped by the man killed in the first burst. With the Bren in his hands, he turned towards the enemy in Base 5.
Come out and fight now! Come on! Come on, now go!
Listen to that! Listen!
Oh, no, he's standing here offering him out.
Oh, he's coming into him with a Bren.
Come on, he is out!
So, Private Partridge, Bren gun in hand, challenged the enemy to come out and fight, and when they didn't appear from their camouflaged bunkers, he aimed the gun at the slits from where the enemy fired their heavy machine guns and rifles.
Get out of the place, my friend!
We've got to silence those guns here! Here, cop this Bren while I go...
No, Frank, no!
Handing his Bren gun to the soldier who came to his side, Private Partridge, weakened now by the loss of blood from his three wounds, raced towards the nearest Japanese bunker.
Come on, fire!
He's right at the bunker. Look, throw the grenade into him.
He's gone right in after the grenade.
Racing towards the nearest bunker, Private Partridge threw a grenade, and in the bursting explosion, threw himself into the enemy position.
Come on!
In a fight for life, Private Partridge killed the sole survivor of his attack. With his hands, he destroyed the enemy. Then there was the next enemy bunker in Base 5.
You'll do us, Frank. Took it on your own.
You're all right, Frank. There's the next bunker to take. Come on.
Come on, men. Another bunker to take.
I'll be right with you. I can't. I just can't make it.
Weakened by loss of blood, Private Partridge could hardly stand. And so, the disappointment evident in his voice, he staggered, unable to join the attack. His attack had cleared the way, and his comrades, silencing the next bunker, made a perimeter around the wounded man. At this time, the Japanese continued to attack from their remaining positions.
Pull the wounded out! You men who can handle a rifle, keep firing! Keep firing!
That enclosed Frank Fartis. Look at him! He got the rifle. I'm still pulling it out.
As the wounded were withdrawn under the heavy fire from the remaining enemy, Private Partridge, badly weakened now, continued to fight on.
Keep it up, men! Shouldn't be able to pull out! Just keep it up!
Those gallant militiamen kept up the fight until their wounded were taken to safety. And only then did the patrols withdraw, among them Private Partridge. The attack by Private Partridge enabled the Australians to move in a little later and wipe out Base 5. The citation for his Victoria Cross said, "The serious situation during the fight of the two patrols was retrieved only by the outstanding gallantry and devotion to duty displayed by Private Partridge." Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is produced at AWA by Donald Crosby for Army Public Relations.